It's been a couple of weeks since I last sat down and tried to tell you this story. So much has happened since then that I needed to take some time to process and understand what was going on. If I'm being honest, I almost thought about stopping completely, but you've sat here with me for so many weeks, often being the silent companion to a lonely venture. A few weeks ago, I came to this town under the impression that I was going to be finishing a book that my granddad started and couldn't finish. He never asked me or anyone to do that for him before he died, but some things just weren't adding up. He never directly told me or my cousin Artem to pick up where he left off, but the way that he wrote his notes and addressed his chapters felt different than his usual style of writing. They didn't read like the books that had made him famous. The bravado and intrigue of the unseen world of Kualampur, the inquisitive and curious voice in which he wrote The Haunting Hills of Iberia. That was missing from his scrappy manuscript about Crimson Hill. His writing on the subject read like letters and emails that we've received from him over the years. From the very beginning, I felt this shift in the voice of his writing, like he was talking to me but not telling me everything. So when I found the name Vivian Laran, a phone number, and the words "confirm story" scribbled in his handwriting on a sticky note in a file of loose documents, I had a feeling it was a lead that needed to be chased. And that's when I learned the truth. My name is Mara Safi, and you're listening to Untold, the story of Crimson Hill. I was entrenched in a mystery surrounding the odd circumstances of the Wedekind family and the succession of their grimoire. At this point, I knew that Oliver Sweets was involved in it too, I just didn't have the whole picture. Another piece of it was the impending arrival of Liza Wedekind. But I kept asking myself, why me? Why Granddad? It was evident that the Wedekinds and the Carmichaels don't care about someone exposing their business to the world. I was getting the feeling that they sort of liked having an audience to their comings and goings. So where did we fit into this? I called the phone number scribbled next to Vivian Laurent's name. I needed to know what "confirm story" meant. The woman who picked up had a faint French accent and sounded unsurprised to be hearing from me. She told me she was the au pair who worked for the Sweets family, and that my grandfather had reached out to her, asking about the old au pair, Agatha. He died before they ever got the chance. We agreed to meet at the park the next day, so that she could tell me instead. I just need to ask this. You're okay if I record this, right?
Oh yes, you can record.
I guess I'll start by asking why my granddad wanted to talk to you about the old Sweets au pair.
When I came to the Sweets, I was just a French tutor. Agatha wanted to leave and go to her son in Florida, and she knew I was looking for more pay, so she trained me to do this job. Before me, she had been with the Sweets for almost 40 years, taking care of all the children. So of course, she has seen things. Secrets.
What kind of secrets?
One time Aggie tells me, "Have you noticed Mr. Abel's coloring?" And I had not until then, but it was true. All the Sweets have brown hair and alabaster skin. Mr. Abel's hair is almost black, and he has what my maman would call olive undertones. At first, I thought it was gossip. Another one of Aggie's saucy remarks.
What changed your mind?
A story she told me later about the night that Mr. Abel and Mr. Charles were born. They are twins, but Aggie was there when Miss Olivia gave birth. She says that there was only one baby.
One? How can that be true if they're twins?
When Miss Olivia went into labor, all the staff except Agatha was dismissed from the house. Aggie says that after Miss Olivia gave birth to the baby, they did not announce the birth for 3 days.
That doesn't make any sense.
It will when you hear the next part.
Go on.
Aggie says 3 days after Mr. Charles is born, a man comes through the back door in the middle of the night with a very pregnant woman who is screaming. She was in labor. Miss Olivia took her upstairs, and a day and a half later, the man and woman leave without any baby. After this, Miss Olivia and Mr. Sweets announced the birth of their twin boys.
Agatha witnessed all of this, even though it was done in secrecy.
We are the help, Miss Safi. We are invisible.
So you think that Abel Sweets was that baby, not a real Sweets heir?
At least that is what Aggie thought. I know none of it. I do not involve myself in the affairs of the suite if they are not children. Perhaps that will be different in 40 years.
Sorry, don't take this the wrong way, but why would my granddad track down an old au pair to confirm this story? Why would it matter to him?
When Mr. Safi called me, he sounded desperate. He asked me where Mr. Abel was, and when I couldn't answer him, he became very upset. He said that he had the right to know.
The right to know what?
Do you think, since Mr. Abel is not a sweet, he could be kin?
Kin? To granddad? I don't think so. We don't have any family near Virginia.
Oh, then something else then. I just felt so bad for the poor old man. It sounded like he was crying on the phone.
Crying on the... Wait, you said you couldn't answer him when he asked where Abel Sweets was. What did you mean by that?
I was told not to talk too much about it. The Sweets are so private.
Vivian, please.
Mr. Abel disappeared a year and a half ago. Everyone has given up looking for him. They think he ran off with a woman or something like that. Except, well, his son.
I didn't have to refer back to the family tree document to put two and two together and figure out who Abel's son was. I tried to wrap up the rest of the interview with Vivian quickly because I knew I had somewhere to be. Why wouldn't you tell me that your father disappeared and that he's the reason you brought my granddad here?
You should probably stop recording now, Mara.
When Oliver asked me to stop recording, I thought it was because he was being secretive. But then he explained that I may prefer to react to what he was about to tell me without a recording device capturing it. He told me that he could repeat a condensed version for the mic after I heard what I needed to hear. And then he told me the truth. Say it just like that. Don't leave out any of it.
Almost a year and a half ago, Sophie Wiedekin died from an aggressive stage 4 cancer that she'd been battling for almost 10 years. Her death prompted the release of her will and testament, which included a letter she asked her lawyer to distribute to her family and any mentioned parties.
Oliver had shown me a copy of the letter on his phone, and then I made him send it to me, too. The letter said the following. Dear Mr. Safi, 52 years ago, you and I met in the Lawrence Hall Hotel during my trip to France with my husband. I remember it well, and I remember how quickly I left after I told you of my condition. I did not intend to hurt you, but there were matters at play that I had no control over. My days are numbered now, so I must confess to you of my actions. When William and I got home after the trip, I told him the news. Immediately, he sensed something was off. I told you of his strange abilities, so he used them to confirm his suspicions. He was enraged and going to kill me, but then he realized I could give him something far more valuable. Our daughter Jane, 6 at the time, also showed promising signs of abilities. It scared me, but it seemed to please my husband. You see, he and his family were obsessed with carrying out the Barthoud incantation from the Wiedekind Grimoire. If successfully done, it would magnify telepathic abilities into something more powerful, the irresistible power of suggestion. The caveat was that the Barthoud incantation could only work if done while the telepath was still a child, and even then the risk was the child going mad, or even death. So for years I'd been protecting my child. I'd even enlisted the help of my sister's husband and brother-in-law, the San Montanes, to protect her. They have Wiedekind blood too, so they were not completely powerless against William and his family like I was. Jane was safe. But in my situation, I was in danger. William could have killed me and made it look like an accident. I'd known similar fates to befall on spouses who had wronged the Wiedekinds. His family would have supported him, helped him even, but he offered me a different deal. I couldn't leave him, the scandal would be too much for his pride, and I would have to allow him to perform the Barthoud incantation on Jane. In return, he would spare my life and the life of my unborn child. I was desperate, so I did something treacherous. I agreed and sealed my Jane's fate. Carmel and Olivia Sweets were expecting a child around the same time, so William paid them to take mine from me when he was born. When I went into labor, I was taken to the Sweets mansion, where I left my little boy. We told everyone that the child was stillborn. A corpse of a small dog was put in the small casket to give it weight. That's the truth. I watched our son grow up as Abel Sweets, and my Jane paid the price. I don't know how you will react to this information, but I do know that the truth will set me free. Sophie Wiedekind.
A week after the letter was released, my dad disappeared. And no one cared. After finding out who he was and where he came from, no one wanted to look for him. Not my uncle, not my aunt, not a single cousin. No one. So, I brought Andalus Safi down here to figure out what happened to his son.
And suddenly, the desperate attempt of Granddad to move to Crimson Hill and tell the story of the founding families made a lot more sense to me. Andalus Safi can tell one hell of a story. That's what they all say. But the biggest story of his life seemed to be the one he left untold. Untold is written, edited, and produced by Maisha Razik. Today's episode featured guest voices Hannah Pete and Ethan Christopher. Intro and background music by Ross Bugden. If you'd like to support the podcast, follow @theuntoldpod on Twitter and toss a few pennies to anchor.fm/untoldpod/support.